And so we've been doing a self-mastery class recently, and this week we talked in self-mastery class about the fourth agreement in the book The Four Agreements by Don Miguel Ruiz. And that fourth agreement is always do your best. And so always do your best can kind of seem like a tall order sometimes. And I think the reason that it seems like a tall order is because we think that to do your best means to do everything perfectly. And if we have to do everything perfectly, it is exhausting and it can be anxiety provoking. And really, to be perfect, to do everything perfect all the time is really virtually impossible if you think about it. And so in his book, The Four Agreements, he says, under any circumstance, always do your best, no more, no less. But keep in mind that your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and changing all the time. So your best will sometimes be high quality and other times not as good. When you wake up refreshed and energized in the morning, your best will be better than when you are tired at night. Your best will be different when you are healthy as opposed to sick, sober as opposed to drunk. Your best will depend on whether you are feeling wonderful and happy or upset, angry, and jealous. And so it's so good to know that our best changes all the time. It's never static. But what that says to me is doing our best isn't about meeting some outside expectation. It's not about measuring up to some external standard. It's not about pleasing someone else or getting the approval of somebody else. It's not about being motivated by external reward or recognition. Instead, doing your best is really about putting yourself fully into whatever it is that you're doing. It is doing whatever it is that you're doing with intention and with presence, your own presence, being fully engaged and fully present in whatever it is that you're doing. Because it makes you feel good when you do that. Because it makes you feel good when you've done a good job, when you've succeeded, when you've mastered something, or when you do something and the result from what you've done is a good result. It takes us to that place. And so what that says to me then is that doing our best is internally motivated. And so, you know, as human beings, we have a need to succeed. We have a need to do a good job at whatever it is that we're doing because it makes us feel good. Because it makes us feel alive and filled up and full. It makes me think of Eric Butterworth, who actually says, do not work to make a living, but work to make a life. It's the same thing. We work so that we can be this creative expression and express ourselves in the world. We work to express that creativity and that life essence and that creative genius within us. We work to express our own wisdom, our own creativity, to expand whoever it is and whatever it is that we are, and to live fully. So it's the same thing. When we are doing our best, we live more fully. We are expressing ourselves more fully. And so we do best because it makes us feel good about ourselves. When we do our best, it raises our self-esteem and it alters how we see ourselves. It leaves us feeling deeply satisfied because we've accomplished something well. But doing our best requires that we be fully engaged. And because it requires that we be fully engaged with whatever it is that we're doing, it actually ends up making us feel more alive than if we do something haphazard, if we do something halfway. And so in Hinduism, there is a sacred practice called puja. And in his book, he talks about that. He says, in India, they perform a ritual called puja. In this ritual, they take idols that represent God in many different forms and bathe them and feed them and give their love to them. They even chant mantras to these idols. The idol itself is not important. What is important is the way they perform the ritual, the way they say, I love you, God. When we are doing our best, it's like we are performing puja around our lives. It's like we're honoring our life, the life that we're living, and we're honoring the gifts that we have in our life, and we're honoring the opportunities that we have to express. We're paying tribute and homage to our own life when we're doing our best. And I know that sometimes we don't do our best. In fact, sometimes we don't even try to do our best. Sometimes we just kind of go through the motions and we're kind of on autopilot. It's kind of like we're sleepwalking. Sometimes we don't do our best simply out of habit. Simply sometimes because we're really just not present with what we're doing. Perhaps maybe you would make the bed haphazardly in the morning, or maybe you spill coffee grounds on the counter and spill coffee on the counter and then walk away and don't clean it up. Maybe you do a report at work and it's just carelessly done and you turn it in anyway. Or maybe you've neglected some commitment that you've made. And maybe it doesn't matter. Unless it does. Unless it somehow makes you feel less than who you are. Unless it somehow diminishes your self-esteem and the way that you see yourself and the way that you hold yourself. It does unless it makes you feel like you're not your best. If it makes you feel like you are less than thriving or alive or vibrant or being who you really are. Unless it makes that little voice that sometimes is so quiet you don't really hear it that says, I knew you weren't really that good. You're really not that good of a person. You could have done better than that. That little nagging voice is back here, so quiet sometimes. And so he says, Ruiz says in this book, when you do your best, you don't give the judge the opportunity to find you guilty or to blame you. Can you relate? And so there's a story about two men, Robert and James, and they applied for an engineering job right down the street here at Boeing. Both of them had the exact same qualifications. They were both asked to take a test by the department manager to decide which one would be hired for the job. Upon completion of the exam, it was determined that each of the men only missed one question. However, the manager went to Robert and said, thank you for your interest, but we've decided to give James the job. Robert replied, why? We both correctly answered 9 out of 10 questions. I believe I should get the job since I've grown up in this town and James just moved here. The manager said, we've made our decision based not on the correct answer, but on the question you missed. How could one incorrect answer be better than the other? Asked Robert. Simple, said the manager. On question number 5, James put down, I don't know, and you put down, neither do I. We've all made mistakes. We've all not done our best sometimes. We all have things that we've done where we could have done better. And then we sometimes regret it later, yes? You know, we do that. We've made mistakes. We use harsh words with people that we love. Or sometimes we're short with our kids or our grandkids. Or sometimes we're neglectful of our duties or even neglectful of relationships that we have. Sometimes we make mistakes at work. We make those mistakes. And when we make mistakes, or when we have done less than our best, there's one of three things that we can do. We can either feel guilty about it and criticize ourselves and beat ourselves up, tell ourselves how rotten we are and how stupid and lazy and mean and no good we are. But you know what? When we do that, isn't it just like pulling the plug on the bathtub? Just drains all the water out of the tub, drains all of our energy out of us. It stops the forward movement in our lives from moving forward and doing better and being more. It drains the power within us that enables us to be a force for good in this world. The second thing that we can do is we can pretend that it never happened, kind of like a sociopath. But since none of us really in this room, I think, are sociopaths, what ends up happening then is we end up drinking too much or eating too much or playing too many games on our phone so that we don't have to feel those feelings and we don't have to think about that thing that we've done. Or the third thing is we can learn from it. We can learn from those mistakes that we've made and then make a different choice the next time. And so there's a story about a man who was in the Olympics. And it's out of this book, A Daily Dose of Sanity by Alan Cohen. It's called Setbacks Are Setups. And I love this quote. It says, the record books never list the score at halftime. So it says, during the 2004 Summer Olympics, U.S. gymnast Paul Hamm was favored to win the men's individual all-around series of six events. During the vault competition, Hamm slipped on his dismount and fell on the judge's table. He was penalized severely and instantly dropped from first to 12th place. The television commentator grimly commented, Paul Hamm will remember this vault for the rest of his life. With two events left in the competition, U.S. fans hoped that Hamm could miraculously work his way back to perhaps a bronze medal. In the final event, the horizontal bar, he turned in a perfectly stellar performance. To everyone's amazement, Hamm emerged with the gold medal by a margin of 12 to 1,000th of a point, the slimmest margin in Olympic history. As it turned out, the television commentator was correct. Paul Hamm would remember that vault for the rest of his life, but not because it was his undoing, but because it represented the greatest comeback in Olympic history. You and I, too, have made errors. We shudder to think about remembering for the rest of our lives. Yet those errors do not reflect the final score, for the game is not over. Like Paul Hamm, you can still make a stellar comeback and capture the gold. You can do better next time, or reframe the way you regard the past events so it empowers you, or simply love and forgive yourself. No matter what you did, recognize that in the big scheme of things, it is not what you thought it was from a judgmental viewpoint. It was a platform for a stellar performance. Whatever it is that we have done that was not our best, we can use that to do better, to learn from, to make a different choice the next time. If you have done less than your best in some particular situation in life, clean it up. Take responsibility for it. Apologize if you need to apologize and make it right if there's something you need to do to make it right so that you can feel clear, so that you can be clean, so that you can feel at peace. And then forgive yourself and move forward and do something different the next time. You remember that in Matthew 5:23 it says, so if you are presenting a sacrifice at the altar in the temple and you suddenly remember that someone has something against you, leave your sacrifice there at the altar, go and be reconciled to that person. Then come and offer your sacrifice to God. If you remember you are holding something against yourself, go and be reconciled, because you cannot show up at the altar of life open to the gifts that are at hand, all the blessings, when you are holding yourself in judgment. You have to forgive yourself, learn from it, make a different choice the next time and move forward. It's a gift for you in your learning and in your evolution. So forgive yourself. Because as you know, when you haven't done your best, we create inner conflict inside of ourselves. We have self-judgment and doubt, which in turn lowers our self-esteem. It removes the possibility, when we are in judgment of ourselves, of creating heaven within ourselves. Ernest Holmes tells us that the universe holds nothing against us. You are free to move forward and to do something over again. When we use our mistakes and the times when we have done less than our best, when we use those times to bring something greater forward, to make a change, to learn, to grow, it's like a springboard in the Olympics. You know, in the Olympics, that springboard allows someone to jump so much higher than they could and to do so much more than they could without that springboard. Allow those mistakes and those times when you've done less than your best to be a springboard to being who you really wanted to be in this world. And so when we recognize our mistakes and we recognize that it is not really who we are, that enables us to be more. When we recognize we haven't done our best, it allows us just the next time to bring our spirit, to bring the fullness of ourself into the world in a greater way, and to be a beneficial presence wherever we go. But doing your best requires that you be awake. It requires that you pay attention. It requires that you take responsibility for your actions so that you can choose again if you've done something you don't like. It requires mindfulness. It also requires that we have compassion for ourselves, being gentle with ourselves, allowing ourselves to make the mistakes, knowing that it's part of life so that we can grow. It supports us in growing. And so what I want you to remember is that doing your best, always doing your best, is not externally motivated. It is not about measuring up to somebody else's expectations. It is not about measuring up to some external standard. It is doing your best in any given moment, in whatever it is that you're doing. You know, we learn everything through repetition. We learn how to tie our shoes through repetition. We learn how to drive a car through repetition. We've been talking these last 4 weeks about these four agreements. We've been talking about being impeccable with your word and not taking anything personally and not making assumptions and always doing your best. All of those things we are able to do through repetition. It takes being consciously aware of it in the beginning, and then it just becomes the natural practice and the natural way that we do life. But the reward is always an interior reward. The reward of doing any of those four agreements is it leaves us with greater peace. It leaves us feeling better about ourselves. It leaves us feeling and experiencing our wholeness to a greater degree. It makes us feel good from the inside out. And so what I want you to do also is to pay attention and to be aware of when you do your best. Notice how you feel when you do your best. Notice that it makes you feel better. Notice that it allows you to experience your wholeness to a greater degree. Notice that it gives you better self-esteem. Notice that it leaves you feeling more deeply satisfied than when you do something halfway. Notice that it makes you appreciate your life in whatever it is that you're doing. And in turn, it makes you appreciate life with a capital L to a greater degree. And so as a result of doing your best, you'll be living your life more fully and experiencing greater peace and creating heaven right in the middle of your own life. And so blessings to all of you on this path of awakening to your own spirit and bringing your own spirit into this world in such a way that is a blessing to you and a blessing to everyone that you come in contact with. Blessings to all of you. And so I invite you to join me in an affirmative prayer. And so we just take this moment to step out of time and space, to step out of this material world, and to step into that absolute presence, that infinite one that is ever present, that is reality itself with a capital R reality, that infinite presence from which all things have sprung forth and which is the very substance and fabric of life itself. That life of God that is the very energy of intelligence and of love, of good, of high purpose. Recognizing that we have each come here to planet Earth as incarnations of that infinite one, of that absolute creativity and love and peace and beauty and goodness, that we are here expressing as that in form. And so I know today that each and every single one of us, that we are led and we are guided and we are compelled by that one inside of us that is none other than our own spirit, that is none other than our own soul, that is none other than our own divinity. That this is the thing that leads us and guides us in this life to make choices that support us, choices that support our life, choices that enable us to thrive and to feel good and to bring a beautiful gift to this world. And so today we make the choice to do our best to the best of our ability, recognizing that that indeed serves us. That indeed serves us as spiritual beings and allows us to live in fullness. And so I am so grateful for this opportunity and this remembrance of this infinite one that is always right where I am, always right where each one of us are, unfolding itself as the exact thing we need in any given moment. And so how blessed we are. And what a blessing we are as we do that. And so it is with gratitude and a full heart that I release this prayer into that creative law of the universe that is orchestrating this entire universe right now so that this good may come into being because we have said yes to the call of our own spirits. And so it is with gratitude that I release this prayer and I say, and so it is.